Well, hello again, everybody, and welcome back to the Trick Podcast of Joey and Goso TV here with my Goso Bell on this beautiful Saturday, July 6th, 2019. Welcome back to my channel. Welcome back to my podcast. Talking today about how to cease striving, how to stop working so hard, and how to let God take control of your life. So we're on the heels here in Southern California of two pretty big earthquakes. By the grace of God, they weren't in the LA area. They were about 150 miles north out in the desert. But definitely, we felt them. We definitely felt them. I especially felt the second one, which was last night, 7.1 or 6.9. Pretty long and scary. My legs were shaking afterwards for a few minutes. Everything is fine, but it was one of those scary nights. And of course, there might be another one, another kind of rolling type of thing. So we never know. But this is earthquake country after all. And so it's one of those things that we deal with here in Southern California. And as the experts say, it had been 10, 20 years since we had one this strong. And so it was about time. So I'm hoping that that was it. And we will not have another one for another 20 years. Anybody say amen to that, right? But I thought it was timely to talk about how to cease striving, how to stop worrying about the future, because it's natural for anyone that goes through an earthquake or anything like that to worry about what to do and how to avoid an earthquake, not that you can, or how to prepare for one, all these things. Should you get underneath the frame of a door? They say that now that's not safe, blah, blah, blah. And it's all important, by the way, so I'm not saying that that's not good to think about those things. But I'm just saying it's timely to think about surrendering our lives to God, right? Because no matter how much we prepare for, let's say, an earthquake, we really can't control one or stop one or have enough things, enough water in the garage to avoid a major disaster. So you definitely have to do a little bit of preparation and a lot of trusting and waiting on God, right? Or if you're a scientist and you're just looking at the numbers, you're tracking how many aftershocks there have been, and you get into the science and the numbers, so I guess you can trust on that as well. But I choose to trust in the Lord. I come from a country of earthquakes. I'm here in this country of the USA in some ways because of an earthquake and a war. So I've been through some pretty crazy stuff in my lifetime. And so I've learned, or I'm learning, to trust in God every day. But this idea that comes out of Psalm 53 that says that we ought to cease striving and know that He is God, something that I have been trying to learn for a very, very long time. As I have said many times, I am a natural doer, and I don't mean that in a positive way. I think that sometimes I overdo things. In fact, I know that I do, and I know that I'm overdoing it because I don't trust God. And that's how you know if you're an overdoer, is when you don't trust God, when you have a hard time trusting God. I have a very, very difficult trusting God, very difficult time trusting God because of how I grew up and a lot of family stuff and a lot of childhood issues. And so even though I'm a very spiritual man and I love Jesus and my pastor, obviously, but it doesn't mean that I don't struggle trusting God. I would say that's probably my biggest struggle, is trusting God. And so how have I learned to begin the process of trusting God? What have I done to try to overcome that weakness, I guess? Well, number one is by reading the Bible, of course. And I'm looking here just really quick, that passage where it says cease striving, and I believe it's Psalm 53, but I want to make sure. Just let me look it up here really quick. Cease striving. It's Psalm 46, excuse me. Yeah, not 53. Psalm 46, verse 10. It says cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the earth. I will be exalted all over the earth, yes. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. I like the World English Bible version. It says, be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. So what does that mean to cease striving or to be still? I have a friend that tells me, Trig, I can't afford to cease striving. I want to buy a house. I want to grow my business. I want to care for my family. I can't just sit around and do nothing. I think that's the greatest misconception about ceasing to strive. I think people sometimes see it as you're going to go on food stamps and depend on the government or something. This statement is not political. This statement in Psalm 46 is a spiritual statement. It's not a political or a social statement. It's not alluding to being lazy or depending on others for your survival. There are many verses in the Bible that talk about that and how it's really not, it's not, God does not support you relying on someone else for your needs. Especially the Proverbs talk about this very clearly. But here in Psalm 46, it's talking about a spiritual resting upon God. It's talking about seeing God as your refuge. I mean, that's how the psalm begins. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. And so then he talks about a promise of the future rest that we are to have. It says in verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. That is alluding in some ways to the coming kingdom of God, where there will be a tree, kind of like in Genesis, that will provide for the nations. And then verse 7 and 8, it says, come and see what the Lord has done. He makes wars to cease. He breaks the bow and shatters a spear. And then after all of these things where he's saying, I am powerful, I am a provider, there is a river, I'm your refuge. Then in light of that, he says, be still and know me. So he's not saying depend on the government or depend on your mom. He's saying depend on me, trust me. And then the last verse is the Lord God Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So I guess the best way to explain this, at least for me, it has been, I think that when we're young, we like the verse, go into all the nations and change the world for Jesus. I think as we get older, we begin to realize that that is all good, but that the other balance or the other side to that, the balance to that verse is Psalm 46, cease striving. It's both and. It's two sides to the same coin. On the one side of our faith, we ought to work out our salvation. We ought to be bold and courageous. On the other side of our faith, and I think as we mature, we realize that it's about cease striving. And I think and know that I am God. And I think that that comes with age, but it also comes through failure. When you realize that staying up late, working 70 hours a week, all things that we've done, I've done them, it doesn't equal success. It doesn't equal fortune. It doesn't always equal abundance. Sometimes you have to go to bed and trust God. You have to work hard and trust God at the same time. And I guess my question is, which are you the weakest in? Which are you the strongest in? Are you more of a doer than a be, you know, meaning someone who bees and who is more into prayer and surrender? Or are you someone who's more into surrender and not much of a doer? You have to know yourself. And as I said, I really believe that it's a thing of maturing. I think in my 50s, I just turned 50 this year, I am beginning to recognize the value of cease to strive. Because really, cease striving and know that I am God is nothing more than faith. That's really what that verse is talking about. It's talking about faith. And yet, James says, faith without works is dead. So the same thing goes. It's always both and. It's not laziness versus work. It's not money versus poverty. We're not talking about financial gain or about socialism versus capitalism, this is not a political statement. This is talking about your trust. Are you trusting in yourself or in God? And that's why Jesus was always challenging the people of his time to choose between God and Caesar, God and money. We need money. We need to honor our government leaders, but you have to eventually choose one over the other. Like a friend of mine said to me a while back, who is your 51%? In other words, out of 100, who's the majority? Is God 51 or are you 51%? And that's helped me a lot because I can honestly say that at this age, in this stage of my life, I trust God 51%. Even though it's not 90%, I wish I was like Mr., like my mom, like trusting God and praying about everything. No, I still struggle. And let me say, it should be more that way. we should be more like my mom and like these amazing men and women that we all know who pray more than worry. It's not prayer versus working hard. It's prayer versus worrying. It's prayer versus depression. It's prayer versus feeling like you're a failure. Because at the end of working hard and doing all you need to do, what's on the end of that? Well, one of two outcomes. You're either going to feel amazing or you're going to feel like a failure and depressed. But at the end of trusting God, what comes? Joy, peace, love, abundance, grace, patience, all the good things that we all long for. And so that's why the psalmist here says, instead of just going crazy, trying to build that business, trying to buy that house, trying to lose all that weight, yes, go to the gym, eat less burritos, right? All that stuff. But trust God. Trust God that no matter what happens, you are still loved by God. Trust God that He will see you through it. Trust God, like it says here, cease striving and know me. In Exodus, when Moses had this huge assignment in front of him to free his people from Egypt, what did God tell him? He says, I am is sending you. He didn't say, go work hard, Moses. You better go and do this with your brother. You better go and get your act together. No, he said, I am with you. And yet he still sent him with that stick and with all these plagues and Moses and with Aaron, his brother, he still equipped him. Same with David, right? David still, even though he didn't put on the armor of the king, he still took those stones and that weapon, right? He still brought himself, you could say, into the battle. But what did he say at the end of the day? He said, in the name of the God of Israel, I defeat you, Goliath. That's the winning formula. That's the winning formula. Is cease striving and know that I am God. And remember that those words, I am, that's a battle cry. When God told Moses, I am who I am, he wasn't saying, I'm going to take a nap now. He was saying, you better worry. The world needs to fear me because I am means power. I am means Almighty God. I am means I am the God of Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am your fortress. I am your refuge. I am your strength. And so when you and I learn to say cease striving, or when we learn to stop striving, we also are learning to know that I am is with you, that the powerful Almighty God is behind you. Now what do? Well, you go and go to work. You go and lose that weight. You go and move to another part of the country. You do whatever you need to do your part. But it's not either or. It's not either you're lazy or you believe in God. No, it's as you work, you trust in God. And if you're going to pick one or the other, if you're going to go and work 10 more hours or pray, you pray instead. And that really is the test. When you're weary, when you're tired, when things aren't going your way or things you're not succeeding fast enough, do you turn to more of you, more stress, more work, more burning it on both ends of the candle, or do you turn to God? That is the greatest test for me. And I can say and admit that when I don't see the results, I mostly turn to more work. What I need to be doing is turning to God, to prayer, to worship, to contemplation, to meditation, to trust in our powerful God. And sometimes it's not until your business fails, or your church shrinks, or your body fails, or there's something in your marriage or with your kids, or if you're a younger person, something with your finances or your car or your parents. It's not until you hit bottom or you hit that wall that you turn to God. And hopefully you turn to God for more than just a couple of days or weeks. You learn to trust God more and more, to cease striving and know the great I am. And that's, as I said, it's an issue of maturity. It's an issue of pain and of learning from your mistakes, of learning. What I would advise against is to not learning from your mistakes, is to just keep making the same mistakes over and over again. I think it would be wise of us to actually learn from our mistakes and to not stress ourselves out every time we're unemployed or we have, maybe we're without a girlfriend and so we're going to just stress out or just worry like crazy. Instead, maybe you should pray and ask God. And you're saying, well, I've been praying for 10 years, 5 years. You keep praying. You continue to cease striving. You continue to know that He is God. As you know, in my life, church has been my greatest passion. And as you know, this current church that I'm at has been slow in growing. It's been a struggle. We're just beginning to turn the corner again. It feels like it's three steps forward and five steps back. And I would say the greatest lesson for me in these 3 years that I've been here has been to cease striving and know that I am God. I am stubborn when it comes to that. Every time the numbers go down or a problem happens or something goes wrong, I tend to go and work at it and do. And I don't pray. I don't trust God, but I'm learning to. I remember this one time about a year ago. We were really going through some challenges and I called a few friends to just come and pray for us. We had some prayer meetings that everyone really just benefited from. And it was one of the few times I'm embarrassed to say that I trusted God and not just in my own intelligence, ideas, or strength. There are many people, especially us who are doers, who tend to trust in ourselves. Now, my wife is an amazing example of someone who is super strong, and yet she's constantly trusting God because I see it. I can feel it in her. She works hard. She's applying right now to be a principal. She's doing all these things. She loves me, takes care of the kids now that they're older, still in their lives, plus all the stuff at home and her parents, blah, blah, blah. But I don't feel in her this stress or this heaviness or this anger or this depression when things don't go her way. Instead, I see her turning to God when things aren't going her way. And that's very different than me. When things aren't going my way, I turn to either depression, anxiety, or to just overwork and do more and more and more and more. Which one would you rather be? Like me or like my wife? Obviously, right? I want to be like my wife. I want to be like those amazing people that trust God when the going gets tough. Don't you want to be that way? I think that's the lesson that we all need to learn. Whether it's an earthquake or whether it's something in your body or something in your finances, learn to surrender it to God. Give it to Jesus, like the old hymn says. Give it to Jesus. Turn your problems over to Jesus. It's not about socialism versus capitalism. It's not a political statement. It's not an economical statement that you're making. It's not a statement of even of how hard you work versus your friend or your brother or your parents or someone who doesn't work hard enough and just gets food stamps from the government. We're not talking about that. We're talking about as you go, who are you trusting? How often are you trusting God? When push comes to shove, do you have knowledge of God's grace? Do you actually pray? Or are you just sort of like throwing up these half prayers and still trusting yourself? Are you more like my beautiful wife or like me? Let's all be more like my beautiful wife. Let's all be like those people, maybe your mom, your dad, a friend, a mentor, who trusts God when things aren't going their way. Learn from them. Ask them, how do you do that? Ask those people, how can you do what you do? How is it that even though you're going through financial problems or problems with your parents or with your children, how is it that you remain calm, cool, and collected? I bet they're going to tell you that they have learned to trust God. How do they learn that? I don't know. Their parents, maybe they just have a gift of prayer, the Word of God, teachers, pastors, I have no idea. I definitely missed or got an F in that class when I was young. And let me just say this. The reason why you and me, if you're like me, don't trust God when the going gets tough is because of trauma in our lives. The reason I don't trust God now is because when I was a young kid and things weren't going my way, meaning a war or I was away from my parents, I thought, well, where is God? I don't see God here, so I better go and do this on my own. And when you are 8, 9, 10, 11, 13, whatever, and you think that life is up to you or that everything is on you, guess what? When you're 30, 40, 50, you're going to do it all on your own again. You have to relearn. You have to retrain your mind. You have to talk to people that when either they didn't go through things that you went through or when they did go through things because of the grace of God, they turned to Jesus. Not to themselves or to drugs or to workaholism or whatever it may be. Learn from those people. Take them out to lunch. Ask them, how do you do that? How do you learn to trust God when your back hurts or when you're unemployed? How have you learned to trust God? Because let me tell you one thing. When I see people that are unemployed, that because I have been unemployed, I can tell those who are trusting God versus those who are trusting in themselves. It is an easy read because I see myself in them. I know what it looks like to pray and to go to church, and yet you're trusting 100% in yourself. You know how I can tell? Because of the look on your face. Because you seem so worried and so stressed and so afraid. Versus, back to my wife, when I see her face about similar things or looking for work, etc., I see the peace that she has. Same with my mom, same with my grandma, many of my mentors. I can just see it on their face that they're trusting God. On the other hand, when people look at me, when I'm under stress, they can see that I'm worried, depressed, anxious, or I'm just flying off the handle trying to do it all on my own. That's how you can tell. It's not that hard to tell. If you think you're trusting God, maybe you should ask your wife or a friend, hey, do you think I trust God when the going gets rough? Ask someone who's going to be honest. And if they say, you know, really, you don't seem to trust God. And then say, would you pray that I would trust God? Would you read the Bible with me so I can learn to trust God more? Maybe take Psalm 46 and read that Psalm together. Learn to trust in God. Learn to give all your concerns to God. Learn to give everything that is on your mind to Jesus. Learn to say, Lord, I need you. I trust in you. Forgive me for taking it upon myself. And teach me to know what it means to cease striving and know that I am God. My prayer for you today is that you will know that God is there for you. That no matter what you're going through in your life, in your personal life, at work, God is your strength. It doesn't mean that you're lazy. In fact, it means that you're strong. It means that you're wise. It means that you are mature. And I hope that together we can learn to do this. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure that you share, comment, like, subscribe, share this episode with 5 of your friends. Go to iTunes and give me a 5-star review. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.